credit for asking, but it didn't
work. The point out here is if anybody...
He gets in the newspaper saying, oh, what a great flute player, and he played the same melody. It was like an eerie...
Right.
Trying to harass the religious man sitting there.
Well, Steve, the answer to that is if somebody's music is too loud or is annoying over a long period of time, you can always, as merchants do, complain about unreasonable noise, and that's more likely to be a successful complaint after 10 o'clock at night when the standard becomes higher. You have to...
We asked a couple of people as they came by, and they
right.
told them that.
Anything other than the flute player incident that's been happening? Or
taken.
Anything else?
Just basically that I'm tired, worked over,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of get some energy and proceed forward. My car is broken, and I've taken it to a place up in Felton. They couldn't fix it.
Right.
I don't know what's wrong.
Right.
I mean, what happened to the mechanics of the past?
Anything, Steve, anything on the streets you want to talk about?
On the streets,
that would be of interest
they're raising
to
the water level down on the river and probably flooding out everybody. That's why they're doing it.
What's this again?
The river down there, if you look at it, the main river with the people up on the river, Paradise,
mm-hmm.
that river's being flooded.
I think it's a sandbar they're doing to save the salmon or to save some fish. I'm not the salmon,
or
but some other...
Homeless.
Yeah, well, that was the claim of some concern of some Camp Paradise people because they found more campers were coming into their camp who had been living on low-lying ground. But then they found that they thought it was something else that had happened. But in any case, I appreciate your call. Anything you want to conclude with?
Thanks for all the support that the people that showed up and the other ones, man. I hope you realize, man, each one of us are fighting.
And don't forget
to
save your legal papers because the work you put in can be used by other people if police try to harass them. And if you want to talk to Steve about how things went in court, he is, I guess, if you're at the same place, kind of across from the Cinema 9, right?
Yeah, if anybody out there was concerned but couldn't make it or just was sitting back but listening but was concerned, mm-hmm. give me a call at 457-9754. That's 457-9754, extension 1773.
Right, and if you think you want to help Steve start this new union of street people, give him a chat too. Maybe we can start that Buskers Union, and you can, do the Hoffa number without the Hoffa result.
Or I'll just stand a couple guys back.
Yeah, well, we'll talk to you later, man.
And I'll have a couple of shields.
Thank you, Steve.
Alrighty, guys.
Phone lines again are open at Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 FM. I hope that we'll be able to get a call in from our lead guest, primary attraction, Patricia Matichek. Patricia, if you're out there and listening, please give us a call. We want to hear from you. I know you said you were going to probably do that, and I hope that we can get you before you take off. There's also services going on, or were going on, at Camp Paradise. For those who are interested, Camp Paradise is a clean and sober, neat and tidy campground, at least it was a week ago when I visited, which is easy to find. It's down on the San Lorenzo River. And you go to Denny's, go down Felker Street, which is to the right of Denny's on Ocean Street, and then go under the bridge, along the river, upriver, for about 500 yards. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Good morning, Robert.
Ah, is this the vicious Patricia Matichek?
The one and only.
You are just... Well, I'm not even going to denounce you yet. I'm going to wait for you to give you enough rope to hang yourself.
You think, huh? Sunday, Robert, you're just talking about church service.
It's true, I was, and I think probably the Camp Paradise service is over, but Reverend Jeff, who was there last week from San Jose after, I guess he had a stroke about a month ago, and so he stopped doing the services, he was going to provide sort of some legal protection for Camp Paradise, so that was his theory, and we began discussing that on Free Radio, but unfortunately we never got the legal documents because of his illness. He was in the hospital, actually, for a couple of weeks, but... This is apropos of nothing, Patricia, except that I wanted to get this information out and use you as a poor, innocent caller to get it out to the general public.
Great. Now I'm doing straight person.
You are the straight woman, man, although I wouldn't want to comment on your preferences at this point. You can talk about them, though, if you'd like. So let's introduce you. How long have you been in the Santa Cruz community?
30 years.
And what... What is your? Do you have any position on city commissions at the present time?
Yes.
And what position would that be?
Well, I have two city advisory body appointments. One to the City Parks and Recreation Commission, and the other to the San Lorenzo Urban River Plan Task Force.
Mm-hmm. Now, you say that's both Parks and Rec and San Lorenzo Task Force.
Yes.
Now, I have been observing the. letters coming into City Council, which is in an open file, folks. For those who want to take a look at them, you just go to the offices, 809 Center Street in the main City Council offices, and ask Suzanne Haberman, who's usually the person who's been covering all this, to take a look at the file, and you can see any correspondence coming into the City Council, which is on recess this month, by the way, if you've been wondering why there haven't been any meetings. But in the past 2 months, letters in favor of Camp Paradise have been about 9 or 10 to 1, letters and emails. But in the last 2 weeks, thanks to, I suspect, your influence, Patricia, and that of others, like-minded individuals, that ratio has dropped to about 5 to 1 or 4 to 1, with a number of critical letters from folks associated with the Parks and Rec and or the San Lorenzo Task Force, or, should we say, interested in issues that have been raised in those bodies around camping on the river. Now, you talked about this to me at length, and we did an interview on this subject about a week ago.
Week ago Friday.
Yes. And you, at that time you had not been down to Camp Paradise. Have you wended your way down there since? You are a bad, bad girl.
Well, Robert, it's just on my list of things to do, more things, as Roxanne alluded to, than there is time.
You've been listening to our show. I commend you.
Of course.
Wow, excellent. Let me ask you to speak up a little, because we have a sort of strange phone connection.
Is that any better?
A little bit. So, you haven't been to Camp Paradise. When we spoke a week ago...
Not since it's been an encampment. I was there last year.
Right,
so
when it was essentially a bunch of toilet paper and a bunch of hypodermic needles in a pile, right?
Well, as a matter of fact, I did a field trip with whoever on the task force was interested. As part of, you know, an orientation and getting acquainted, and, you know, an orientation not only to each other but to the physical areas mm-hmm. that they were going to be charged with coming up with policy recommendations for. Sorry to end with a preposition, but
okay.
Anyway. And so we went on foot mm-hmm. from, you know, there on up to the gorge area on the mm-hmm. On the river.
Mm-hmm.
And subsequent to that, we did make enough of a case to get some cleanup efforts instituted in that area
mm-hmm.
On the part of the city. So,
now, had you heard that there actually has been any cleanup north, or maybe is it east? It's beyond the Highway 1 overpass bridge where Camp Paradise is currently located.
Well, I understood that there was subsequent to that trip, because it was, you know, that area has been an informal camp during the season for some time.
Now, when did you make your trip? Do you remember what month?
Well, it would have been low water, so I'm trying to remember. Sometime, I'm going to say in the summer, but I'm not going to remember.
Summer of 1999? Summer 2000, actually, yeah. It'd be the summer 2000.
Okay.
So it's your sense that sometime between the summer of 2000 and, let's say, May of this year, there was a cleanup operation funded perhaps in part by your recommendation or the recommendation of your task force?
Well, out of the... with city funds, indeed, because the material, you know, however it ends up on the upper portions of the river, high water would bring it down and deposit it not only throughout the city, but wash it onto the main beach and out into the marine sanctuary, where it's not going to do any living creature any good.
Right.
So,
now, but what I'm wondering is, was there a, it sounds like you don't have a clear sense of when this cleanup operation actually happened. I mean, I'm trying to find out if there was a prior cleanup operation in Camp Paradise prior to the campers who, as you know, have claimed to clean up tons and tons of garbage and needles and stuff that the city has not cleaned up. In fact, Larry Templeton claims that the city has essentially left that area in spite of even prior funding for prior cleanups, and the cemetery has complained to the city about that too. So I'm trying to kind of narrow down when this cleanup might have happened. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I could, if pushed, come up with
think of this
figures.
Let me nudge you on this.
it's just hard because I've done, you know, so many tours and exactly when and whatever, but I could get the cleanup. maybe even the quantities. But the truth of life
that'd be great.
In the river is that even like last year when there was a cleanup done in the lower portion of the river.
Below Camp Paradise.
Right. About this time as part of the maintenance contract, because the rains were so long incoming, basically our, quote, camping, unquote, season lasted a very long time, and there had to be a second cleanup because people came back into the riverbed and set up again and left so much material again that in order to get it out of the way of the high waters associated with the rainy season, the city had to go back in there again. So, you know, after a couple of years of this and on, you know, quite a few open space and greenbelt properties, I'm not going to have the exact dates at the tip of my tongue of when we were walking in the river and making our way along the
It wouldn't even be that. I think it would also be just when, because you weren't doing the cleanup, but when there was a subsequent cleanup of the Camp Paradise area. If you can get that date to me, I'd like to know that. I'd like to see that report or see that it happened, because it certainly, you know, is an important fact. I mean, it may indicate that there's less credibility for the Camp Paradise folks who claim to have cleaned up so much garbage if there had previously been a cleanup right before they supposedly did their cleanup attempts. I am an advocate of rights of homeless people to sleep in camps somewhere. I prefer that they had legal places to do it, and I don't know what you think on that issue, and of course we can talk about that, but I want to be a person who is fair about this whole situation, and you know, I'm willing to take critical incoming evidence as well as supportive evidence, and that's why I ask you the question.
I appreciate that. And I will get that from the city. Things are a bit in flux, as you may know. Mm-hmm. Long-awaited reopening of the northern wing of City Hall has been completed.
More offices for the bureaucrats.
Well, fewer of them on lease from private interests, at least, because they'll be able to consolidate some functions that right now, or for a long time, basically since the earthquake, have had to be located in leased off-site structures. So the rehab of what had been the police wing is finished, and so there's all sorts of moving and reconfiguring and unpacking and all that stuff.
Yeah, I'm always amazed that they spend so many millions of dollars, well, on the police department, of course. It was a notorious scandal, a $7 million cost overrun on a $5 million project. But
well, let us not forget the Taj Mahal.
Oh really? You might tell me about that too, and I'd like to hear about that. I don't know much about it, but I know that, you know, they could be spending this money on fitting for people who are in need of housing, low-income housing, even for people that were displaced by the earthquake, and for meeting the housing element that hasn't been met in the county area, and in terms of the city's specific emergency shelter needs, so that maybe there wouldn't have to be so many people camped in the areas which you are concerned about, like the Poganip and along the river, although indeed it is a beautiful area, no question about it, and has its own draw, that's for sure. I have here in my hand the Camp Paradise Pollution Prevention Plan submitted to the City Council of Santa Cruz, California, July 10th, 2001. Have you read it? Well, let me run it by you and just get your kind of offhand comments, because I know you'd probably have to think about it, and you know, maybe see it in front of you and study it. But you mind if I run some of it by you?
I'll trust you to read me what's on the paper.
I will do my best. Findings. The residents of Camp Paradise find that 1. The San Lorenzo River is an outstanding natural resource in the state of California, USA. The river flows from its headwaters in the Santa Cruz Mountains through the county of Santa Cruz and the city of Santa Cruz, draining into the Pacific Ocean between East Cliff Drive and the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk. Any objections to that statement?
No.
I don't think so either. 2. The river and its estuary currently or potentially support important beneficial uses of water, including A. municipal water supply, B. industrial water supply, C. water contact recreation, D. water non-contact recreation, E. cold water fisheries habitat, F. fish migration and spawning, G. preservation of rare and endangered species, and H. wildlife habitat. Any additions or thoughts about that?
Pretty much covers the spectrum.
Okay. Most of the beneficial uses listed above are impaired in the San Lorenzo River because of a variety of human activities in the watershed, including A. freshwater diversions, B. construction-related discharge of sediment, C. pavement, rooftops, and other impervious surfaces, D. motor vehicle emissions, E. construction and development within the floodplain and tidelands of the estuary, F. leaking septic tanks and sewage systems, G. agricultural and landscaping, and H. and here we go, people living outdoors or in temporary shelters and homes.
Oh, you missed logging.
Logging, okay, I better put that one in. All right, so we better tell this guy who put, I guess this was Dr. Khalil Abu Sousa. I'm not quite sure if I pronounce his name right, but logging seems to be missing here. The man obviously needs to have a talking to.
Well, his professional territory is a more urban landscape, so we'll not be too hard on him for that mission.
Fair enough. Number four, all people and organizations in the city and county of Santa Cruz, including businesses, water suppliers, local government, and residents with and without housing, are responsible for environmental stewardship. Any comment on that? An optimistic statement, perhaps?
Well, it's coming from someone who works for an agency charged with performing
the stewardship.
Stewardship function.
He's just trying to get past the buck, huh? All
well,
right.
it's a little bit like expecting citizens to hold bake sales to build playgrounds and housing while the Pentagon,
gets the big appropriation.
Bellies up to the bar for major appropriation.
I hear you.
I mean, you know.
So it's his agencies and that of other specific agencies who are specifically enjoined to do this task, not so much everybody else.
Well, I think as I listened to Roxanne this morning, and I'm glad to know that she's still around, what I think is driving all of us to a rather white-knuckle situation is that we have layer upon layer upon layer of agency. There are at least four, maybe five I can think of off the top of my head that have professional jurisdiction in the San Lorenzo River corridor. For example, not the regional board for which Dr. Khalil works, but because he works for one whose jurisdiction is over the hill. Our regional board comes out of San Luis Obispo, but they have professional concerns, and they have responsibilities, and they have a staff, and they're supposed to be putting, you know, leaking septic tanks and all that sort of thing on notice. We have the County Environmental Health Department. There again, staff people with responsibilities. We have the County Planning Department that lets permits, that's supposed to be looking at, you know, leach field requirements and so on and so forth. We have Cal Fish and Game. The Coastal Commission has some jurisdiction in the lower river. State Tidelands has State Lands Commission has jurisdiction over the tidelands. Those I can come up with off the top of my head, but what we citizens seem to be experiencing is analogous to what Roxanne was alluding to when she was talking about city and county redevelopment, that here we pay agencies to take care of these resources, whether it's regional air or regional water or whatever it is, and that to the degree that they don't do it, or there's some political deal struck, that citizens are having to spend staggering amounts of time in advocacy issues because of the shortfall on or political deal making, whether it comes down from Sacramento or 701 Ocean Street or someplace else, that is impairing these resources.
Or you might say, you know, individual campers who are on the river have to go around and clean up the trash of all the other campers, as Camp Paradise claims to have done. So the amount of work they put in, unpaid work, as I understand it, should have been done by city and county officials or some of these agencies you mentioned. Let me quickly finish off this proposal and then get your general thoughts.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to read you a statement that was made by Khalil Abu Sabah, that's actually his name, at the Housing Land Trust Conference on Friday. As a community of people seeking to maintain safe living conditions, the residents of Camp Paradise are committed to preventing pollution and improving the area we occupy. We have implemented a program to prevent pollution near our current home on the east shore of the San Lorenzo River near Highway 1. That program includes specific actions completed since January 10, 2001. And here they are. A, removal of litter and garbage accumulated from previous users of the area over the past decade. A certified scale showed that we removed 48,000 pounds of garbage. Based on that measurement and the count of trash bags and hours worked, we have removed at least 20,000 pounds of trash from the banks and floodplain of the river. B, removal and sanitary disposal at the needle exchange of approximately 2 5-gallon buckets full of used hypodermic needles. C, restoration and maintenance of trails, including erosion control and revegetation. D, rental of a portable latrine to maintain sanitary conditions, which, by the way, was dragged away by the city 3 days ago because they claimed prostitution was happening nearby. E, negotiation of bathroom usage from local businesses when the portable latrine is not available. F, maintaining good relations with neighboring residents, businesses, and other members of the public using the river. Provisions. Therefore, the residents of Camp Paradise resolve to continue the following actions in any area where we live. One, note they're saying that they don't mind being moved in any area where we live. Implement measures to minimize the erosion of soils and sediments, including revegetation, use of appropriate gardening and irrigation practices, and preserving existing ground cover to the maximum extent practicable. Two, implement measures to maintain sanitary conditions, including negotiation with local businesses for continued access to sanitary facilities, negotiation with local government for permission to rent a temporary latrine, and maintaining a no-discharge policy within and around the area, any area we occupy. Three, prevent the discharge of solid waste within and around any area we occupy by A, collecting and removing trash, and B, arranging for collected trash to be disposed and recycled. 4. Consult with local government staff on any additional best management practices needed. 5. Respect our neighbors and their rights just as they respect us and ours. This is a statement which was submitted to the City Council of Santa Cruz, California, July 10th, one day before your Parks and Rec Commission met on the 9th and then delivered a letter on the 11th, essentially denouncing Camp Paradise. Now, what's your thoughts on this proposal?
Okay. Number one. Fine things to say, but the reality is that apparently Camp Paradise's operation also involves the use of a generator, which has been placed right on the banks of the San Lorenzo. Mm-hmm. So any fueling of said generator would, and any spillage, would go directly into the river.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not hearing that addressed at all.
Mm-hmm.
This issue came up at the River Task Force because Dr. Abu Sama and other Camp Paradise supporters came to that meeting and were seeking a position statement from the River Task Force.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm not calling today as any sort of authorized representative or spokesperson from the task force.
Mm-hmm.
This is only my very own personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
When the council selected 22 people to serve on this task force, they gave us three missions. One was to oversee this process between that the Corps of Engineers came back to town to do, that is raising the levees, and to be the public face for that project between the public and their staff.
Mm-hmm.
And while the city has basically had a policy that amounted to neglect of the river for the 45 years since the original core project was done, within the 3 years that we are empowered to sit as a group, our task was to attempt to reintegrate this river into the productive life of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And as a step toward that, to take those denuded banks and turn it into 4 miles, that is 2 miles on each bank of linear park. And so the selection of native plants and the placement and irrigation and all of those things have, you know, consumed a significant portion of our work, as well as the design and the public meetings and outreach and yak, stuff like that.
Have you got a design for the Camp Paradise area that you've kind of mapped out?
No. Mm-hmm. Our specific specific target area is limited to the area that the Corps got their hands on after the 55 flood. So it is south of the Highway 1 bridge, the area that was already channelized.
Though I know that the city did purchase from the cemetery in 1957 the land that the cemetery had owned, which is now that land on which Camp Paradise sits.
Right. And as part of a long-term open space and circulation plan, I know that there's been consideration given to extending what are now, basically the backbone of the city's bicycle transportation plan within the core of the city is really those service roads on the top of the levees. Those are the car-free zones.
Mm-hmm.
And as we are looking to extend the West Bank one, we're basically looking to extend both of them underneath the Highway 1 bridge and the one on the East Bank then to tie into that short street, perhaps it's called State Tate, T-A-I-T, I think is the name anyway, that comes off of Ocean Street Extension,
mm-hmm.
so that the possibilities for walking, jogging, bicycling, hiking, something, something, getting up, doing that kind of a loop, as well as looking to also do it on the West Bank so we could go underneath the Highway 1 bridge and go behind Central Home Supply and connect to perhaps as part of reclaiming a portion of the Saul's Tannery property and make a connection then into Harvey West Park so that people working there would be able to come downtown for lunch or be able to commute back and forth to work, things like that. So there's certainly been a long-term idea of connecting wider public access through those areas. But our task on the task force, those were 2 points. And the third one was in the time between, the original core project and the present, there have been two significant political changes, and one is the designation of this portion of the coast as National Marine Sanctuary, and the other one is the listing of anadromous fish as threatened or endangered. The coho is endangered, and the steelhead is threatened. And so anyway, to try to make sure that the work done on the levee, as well as our design concerns, work toward maximum habitat improvement on the river.
Mm-hmm.
So we are not there to do the work of the Public Works Commission. We are not there to do the work of the Water Commission. We are not there to do the work of the Parks and Rec Commission. We are there to work as a river-oriented body. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this. I continue to encourage you to go on down there and, have a real look at what's happening so you could you could say authoritatively, I've been down there and my concerns are just as strong as they ever were, or stronger perhaps, or no, I've got some changes in my perspective based on what I've seen. But certainly I think it would give your perspective greater credibility both among critics and supporters if people knew you were actually there looking things over as a person who has had some experience in these areas. Particularly, for example, I don't think there'd be any objection, I can't speak for the camp, but in your looking at the generator and seeing if it looks like there's stuff leaking out of that, where that's happening, and just you might find more, to buttress your own case that this is a mistaken place for a camp and it should be removed as quickly as possible. Let me ask you, are you making that recommendation?
That the generator be removed?
Well, that the entire camp be dispersed as quickly as possible.
Let me say this about that.
Let me say this about that, yes. Go ahead, please.
That campsite in my opinion, is not a viable site for year-round occupation.
What about for the next 2 months?
Well, what's going to happen to these people in the next 2 months?
Well, that's a good question, but I can certainly say that if they're evicted immediately, they're going to have no place to go, for the moment. And they, you know, they have this thing called motel vouchers,
right,
which are given to people on an emergency basis. And you don't say, well, why give them a motel voucher? Because what happens after 2 days? Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, when a person is in need, you deal with that need as best you can, and they are trying to deal with their own needs as best they can. I could propose all kinds of things that could happen within the next 2 months, although the city council is, you know, not likely to do any of them, in my view, without strong community pressure, such as, you know, a campground, a legal campground somewhere else in the area that would be, you know, a suitable place to move, or leasing a piece of property which they would pay for with their own money somewhere else, maybe even in the county, not even necessarily in the city.
Well, okay,
that's what they're claiming they're looking for, and that's what, I guess, the Community Housing Land Trust also believes they're looking for.
Well, that's really primarily why I thought I'd try to take up time on your radio show today.
Okay.
Because I was aware for some time that there's a church building with apartments attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
For sale in town.
Where is that?
It's on Rooney Street, R-O-O-N-E-Y,
mm-hmm.
That seems to be, you know, of quite recent vintage. The expectation would be that it was in good shape, would seem then to be a flexible kind of building. That is, there are some specific apartments, but also it's a church that could then be used as a hall. And so whether people bunked in it or whether a group took it over and raised money by renting it out, as has been done with the Green Grange. But
where is this again? I mean, what part of town are we talking?
We're talking the east side, and we're talking, let's see, if one were to travel on Morrissey Boulevard,
mm-hmm,
and go across the freeway,
mm-hmm,
and then if you want to go north, you do this weird thing of coming down and looking like you're getting into a merge lane, but you don't,
mm-hmm,
merge onto the highway. You can turn to the right, and then you come right up onto Rooney.
It's on the east side of the freeway, then, or the north side?
North side of the freeway.
And
virtually right when you come off the freeway,
mm-hmm,
you either have to turn left or right, but right ahead of you is a bit of an embankment, and this church sits right there.
Do you know the name of the church?
The Neighborhood Church.
The Neighborhood Church. We're running low on time here, and I'm sorry that we weren't able to get you in soon. I'm also sooner, and I'm sorry that we didn't have you in the studio, because I'd love to have you fielding some hot calls. I really think I want to give people a chance to get a couple of calls, and that doesn't mean I don't want you to continue this discussion too. I'm kind of, you know, torn here. I got 21 minutes left.
All I would really like, mm-hmm, basically, I called to try to spread this word a little wider.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what the price is. Not at all. But if the Community Housing Land Trust is interested,
mm-hmm,
and they're really looking at viable alternatives, not to have people soaking wet and rained on and trudging along dirt paths in the wintertime dark to try to go to Denny's is just unthinkable.
Mm-hmm.
And this seemed to me like an alternative worth pursuing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was calling in hopes that it might, with a little more...
Of course, the Land Trust has no money. I mean, the Housing Land Trust has no money at the moment, but, you know, there are people definitely interested in Camp Paradise. So,
well, they have nonprofit status, and they should have the, you know, network to be able to attract funding,
mm-hmm,
if they have a viable project. And mm-hmm, to me, at least from the outside, this looked like a viable step toward giving people really, mm-hmm, a stable, workable environment, which I think is... what we're all looking for, is not to have people living in some Calcutta conditions.
Well, of course, I agree with you, but I have two comments.
Yeah.
First, actually, Michael Hernandez, of all people, in the summer of 2000, when Byers and the city council majority voted to kill the Safe Sleeping Zones proposal,
yeah,
he proposed that a similar building was available on the west side near Safeway at that time, some huge kind of in an industrial zone type building, and he recommended the city council look into it. And the city council actually passed a resolution which asked that non-governmental property, such as Hernandez's building proposal, as well as church and business parking lots, be looked at and categorized, and that there be a kind of research outreach done on this. And not a thing was done. I specifically sent letters to Ken Cole and City Manager Dick Wilson in November, and they told me that Cole said he'd never been approached. Wilson said he wouldn't do a damn thing unless the City Council demanded it. When I brought it up before Council, Crone refused to raise the issue at all. So the City, of course, it's not the City Council we're talking about, which I see, which we all agree is completely gutless, ballless, and ovaryless, and has no interest in any strong action. I mean, if you'll forgive me, this is my view anyway.
Tell me how you really feel, Robert.
Well, I like him a lot, really, but we won't get into that. The fact of the matter is that you know, the community is what we're talking to, and who you're talking to too. When you were advocating for, you know, Beach South of Laurel, to eliminate that plan, you know. Doug Rand and others had to go to the community to organize. And similarly, with the sleeping ban and the camping ban, where we're talking about legal places for people to be, whether it's indoors or outdoors, you have to go to the community, because obviously the city council isn't interested. So I think that's quite appropriate. But the second thing is, if you have one indoor building,
yeah,
you know, one indoor building for a group of people doesn't provide the kind of facility, I guess, that I would say a campground provides. In terms of emergency shelter, I mean, it's both in terms of having a place for. It doesn't provide for the privacy, really. If you look at any, this is generally agreed with homeless advocates with virtually all shelters. I mean, there are some exceptions, and I guess one could have an unusual shelter. I think there's such a one in Washington D.C. created by Mitch Snyder back in the late '80s, but it's not bad as a shelter idea. And I don't, you know, I would support that. But my thought is, again, the question to you is, do you favor evicting these people in the next 2 months before the weather evicts them, if something the weather will evict them? They are claiming that that's not necessarily the case, and they could have an evacuation plan and so forth. But are you saying that, from your perspective as an individual, you want to see them gone immediately, even if they have no place to go? Because that's really the issue. I mean, it's a hard question to ask you, but it really is the question.
Well, if the council is as inactive as you are putting forward, mm-hmm, then 2 months isn't going to make any difference. Then unless the citizens move forward on developing an alternative, the only thing that's going to happen is that, you know, another 30 days is going to pass, and, you know, the armory will open, and then a limited number of people will be able to be sheltered at night in the armory, period, end of story.
Mm-hmm.
And these people will be in no better a situation than they are now, except that it'll be colder, darker, wetter, wherever it is that they're going to try to go. So since I try not to run things to the wall, I would prefer that they become proactive, and rather than just looking for crumbs to fall from the table, because my personal opinion is that having the river bottom available as a camping zone for, you know, parts of the, primarily the last 10 years and its increasing use, is an issue about which the council is going to have to decide, you know, what its real policy is about the open spaces and greenbelt areas that, you know, the citizens told them to buy and mm-hmm. to set aside, and that the laws tell them they have to protect. And now they're pulled one direction by those rules and one direction by people who use those areas to set up camp during the mild months of the year. I think there's going to have to be some decision made about a larger permanent shelter, and whether that's going to be the armory or whether it would be something like the neighborhood church, which would offer an apartment building, which would offer, maybe that's a function that the church space itself serves, and then it has its own parking lot that could be used for car camping.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe that there's going to have to be some recognition of the idea of a numerical limit.
How about the next 2 months? Do you favor evicting them immediately or giving them a 2-month hiatus?
Well, what better
or something
option?
Else?
are they going to have for themselves in 2 months?
We don't know. But we know that they don't have a better option now. So are you saying, is your question rhetorical? Are you saying evict them now? Because, I mean, if you are, let's be candid about it.
Well, the last deadline I knew about was Labor Day.
That is the deadline. Is my impression, in spite of optimistic statements by their attorney, that the police are going to do increased crackdowns after September 1st, not because I know any police officers, but because that's what I kind of hear through Mark Premack and his conversations at the Housing Trust and his talk on Voices from the Village. So I think that's likely to happen. But I'm asking your position.
Are they going to have, well, answer me this question first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Trying to give people motel vouchers at what is supposedly the height of the out-of-town visitor season.
Utterly impossible.
Right. And so are there going to be more housing vouchers available after Labor Day?
There may be a few, but do you know how many housing vouchers were available on August 3rd when they got 60 tickets? I should say when the homeless community, then Camp Paradise got 20 to 30 tickets. You know how many housing vouchers were actually given out?
No.
8. And you know how many housing opportunities there really were for those 8 vouchers? There were 2. So this is by Karen Brock's own account at the Homeless Services Center. So it's not only a show, it is a pathetic show, and it's a pathetic show that it seems to be run by, I mean, I can't say, that sounds like the police department and the city manager's office. My problem is, though, I got to go. I want to have you, you know, it sounds like you're not answering my question about whether you want an immediate eviction or not. Is that fair? Is that a fair interpretation of what you're saying, or...?
If you could guarantee me that not only Camp Paradise, but all the people camping below Water Street, where we removed 40 cubic yards of garbage between the Water Street Bridge and 3rd Street just last week, if all of that would go away, if we, you know, chilled out for another 2 months and would never come back again, I'd have no problem.
I will give you chocolate bars at Christmas as well. Let's talk again about this next time we get on the air. We're going to be returning from 6 to 8 on Thursday, and of course next Sunday from 11 to 1:30. In the meantime, if people have questions, how can they contact you or the groups that you're working with, the SLRP or the Parks and Rec?
They're welcome to use my email.
Okay, what would that be?
It is P for Patricia,
mm-hmm.
P-A-T-A, C-H-E-K@JUNO.com.
P. Matichek at?
No, it's actually Patichek.
Patichek.
P-A-T-A-C-H-E-K at Juno.com.
Hey, thank you, Patricia Matichek. We've been talking with Patricia, who's, for my money, a better activist than she is a commission member. But again, I'm not on top with it. And I want to talk to you more about other subjects which we can agree, and I think we can probably agree more than very strongly on it in future shows.
Well, even though you've damned me with faint praise, Robert.
Yeah, even though.
Even though.
Thanks, Patricia.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, better grab the phone fast if you want to get on the air. We have 10 minutes left until the V-Man comes storming into the studio with his show. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Phone 9 is 427-3772. We're talking about the rights of homeless people and the fact that 1,000 to 2,000 homeless people every night are in an illegal status after 11 o'clock at night or any time of the day or night if they're in a campsite or if the police like to say, because they are, say, standing near a tent, that they are in a campsite, which is what has happened on different occasions to people, and they've actually been convicted of being in an encampment, even though, of that encampment being theirs, even though it's not. I also want to note that Just Join Us Sleep Tonight, which is a group concerned with preparing a response to what I believe is the inevitable eviction of Camp Paradise, which I think is likely to happen within a week and a half, if not sooner, certainly after September 1st. And I could be wrong, not certainly, but I would say most likely after September 1st, which has been talking about setting up a tent city at City Hall, is interested in meeting, and we have a HUF meeting on Wednesday, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, at 8:30 at Baker Square, and there was a just meeting planned for tomorrow night. We'll be talking about that in a moment. You're on Free Radio.
Robert, Ed.
Hey, Ed.
You heathen, pagan, you weren't at church again.
Well, you know how it is.
Sinner.
I have my own religion. My microphone
you're
is
you're doing
religion.
Your own church today.
Damn
the church
right.
Church of North.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to compliment Patricia. This battery's going to die. Mm-hmm. What a wonderful idea, that church over there.
Mm-hmm.
An old piece of dead property just sitting there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I had the thought, it's like, well, and then remove the self, well, anyway. And it's kind of like being run on along the lines of like the New Life Center or something like that, where it's a healthy environment.
Mm, and well-funded.
Who would you hire to do it, you know? But
now, you're actually a person who's been working with the Vehicular Residents Association.
Right.
Have you heard anything new about that?
Nothing, no.
Okay.
No.
All you
I had the little thought, like, what if people could park inside the parking lot? In my mind's eye, I recalled it as being a giant parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
What a wonderful thing. This is amazing. Did I hear on that woman speaking on the tape interview you had, I think down in the mall, that she used to be a Camp Paradise resident and
yes,
she left?
Yes, that's correct.
Did I hear correctly that people ate food in the camp but others were excluded?
Her claim was that Larry was charging a buck for food services, and that because he was charging for it, I think she was eating elsewhere, she didn't want to pay it, and that was part of the reason, or the reason, she was excluded. Though if you talk to Larry, he claims that she was excluded for theft. She denies that. And the reason I played the interview is I try to be fair and play other people's criticisms of what's going on. I can't make judgments,
right?
Really, I mean, I can, but I don't really have a basis for making a judgment here as to who's telling the truth. And so I just
maybe
wanted to make sure.
I was hearing what I was hearing.
Yeah. No, I don't
I
think
just,
she did.
And her son, something with her son?
Yeah, he claimed Larry admitted to, I think, punching her son in a situation.
Oh, goodness.
But
see, they need a healthy place, a spiritually and psychologically healthy place.
It had to do, however,
really
the claim was that it had to do with a large theft, and it was a situation where there was a, I mean, it wasn't. Is not in police custody and would be if there was a real assault and battery
right.
charge filed.
I don't know.
So there
I,
were,
thought,
yeah,
no.
I don't. I mean, I don't know. Like, it's hard for me to judge all the ins and outs. And this happened about a month and a half ago. So the only reason I bring this stuff up is because I think it's important that one talk about it openly and fairly, and not. And it looks like our man's battery died, just as this show is about to go under because we are in the last 7 minutes. I want to point out that, as I mentioned, the organization JUST is kind of having a special work session today at Carl Wilson's house. Carl is a resident of the Felker Street area right next to Camp Paradise. He's really been helpful with the camp and storing their stuff, and he's an organizer and spokesperson was at the press conference of the Housing Land Trust for Friends of Camp Paradise. And he's at 137 Felker. He invites anyone who's interested to come down to his house today and help to enter names, emails, and phone numbers from the massive 113-hour-long vigil that was on the mall, you may remember, in front of Borders, where there was a kind of a vehicle with a tent on it and various other vehicles with signs, Save Camp Paradise, and was there for 5 days and five nights continuously, and got more than 1,000 signatures, emails, phone numbers, or at least certainly a high number. I thought it was over 1,000. But the problem now is getting those all entered into the computer. Some of that has been done, but not enough. And it's an important time because, as I said, though most other people seem to be pretty mellow about the situation and think that the police have all laid off and laid back, I am not persuaded there's any real evidence that they have, other than that they gave this, at the urging of Attorney Paul Sanford, two or three weeks ago in a private meeting with the city attorney and the mayor and so forth. Sanford urged the police to wait until August 31st at least, and then to give Larry time to leave if he wanted, and then the tickets could be dismissed that were given to Larry and other people at the camp on August 3rd. Now, this deal was not accepted by Larry. It was not accepted, but I get the impression it was accepted by the city on the one side, but not by Larry on the other. And therefore, when the August 31st deadline passes, that enforcement will intensify, if not become complete, with the eviction of the camp. And this was the impression I got by talking to Assistant City Manager Martine Bernal on Friday afternoon. Dick Wilson wasn't in his office, and he declined to meet with me so far, even though I've made to put in two requests. Martine Bernal agreed that he actually volunteered, he thinks enforcement will be stepped up after the 31st. Now, whether that means that they will you know, come through with flashlights at midnight and warn people all to leave, or whether they will come in and make them leave, I don't know. But I think that's a pretty, that was a pretty clear statement, which, although I got a note when that, when the media arrived, and I had a reporter from the Metro talking to him, he kind of soft-pedaled that line, didn't mention it as strongly. But I still think it's a real danger. But I think that unless Camp Paradise, Friends of Camp Paradise and Camp Paradise people want to prepare, I think they need to prepare a tent city alternative, so that if Camp Paradise is taken down, there will be another one that will rise at City Hall, or on the at Terrace Point, or who knows, on the golf course up at on De La Vega Park there, or up further somewhere where it'll be even more of a you know, a clearly visible response, which says you cannot drive people away from survival campground without providing them with another option, given the current shelter crisis in Santa Cruz, particularly for many people who've lived here for years. And if that's available as a possibility, and a real possibility, where the tents are there and the people are ready to come and do it, and even if possibly there'll be some arrests for peaceful direct action here, others will take their place. If that's in place, the city, I think, will be much more reluctant to move on a peaceful, out-of-the-way campground that is trying to meet environmental concerns. And I don't know about the generator, and I hope Patricia will go down there and check out that generator. Come on, Patricia, it's not that far. I will drive you in my car down there. Come on, you give me a call, I'll drive you over there. And then we'll have a sandwich at Denny's, if you can stomach it. Anyway, I'm concerned that we need to have a response, but since there doesn't seem to be a lot of outpouring, we're going to be working on trying to get today at Carl Wilson's house the phones, email addresses entered in the log, so that entered into the computer, so that people can be contacted, and hopefully volunteers can volunteer to be of assistance, not just in the Camp Paradise situation, but in the broader situation, which is that of the 1,000 to 2,000 homeless people who don't live in Camp Paradise, but who live in other smaller camps or simply sleep where they can outside, because there are only 39 places every night for people to sleep in. That's the reality. The Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program, always full, according to Karen Brock, with very rare exceptions, is full of disabled and elderly people who keep coming back night after night and using it, so there really isn't any room for anybody else. And there wouldn't be much room anyway with 39 spaces. So we need to consider doing what Miami, Florida has done for the last 3 years, which is to say, if homeless people are found in life-threatening situations, that's to say, doing what's called life-sustaining misdemeanors, which is life-sustaining behavior like camping, having a fire, being in a park after dark, doing something that, pissing or shitting, because the city council will not fulfill its own resolutions and set up porta-potties and dumpsters in industrial zones, then the police cannot approach those people at all unless they have a shelter space available. That's the situation in Miami at the present time. That's what we need here. That's the Pottinger decision mandated by federal court in a court settlement in 1998. Is Miami, Florida more liberal than Santa Cruz, California? The simple answer is yes on homeless issues. So let's talk about that next time. In the meantime, get yourself over to Carl Wilson's today if you want to be helpful at 137 Felker Street, right next to Denny's, and help enter some stuff in the computer so that there can be a not just a broader response network to Camp Paradise, but a broader response to, so we can have some real significant high-profile protests that will mobilize the community around the broader issue of basic civil rights for homeless people and decriminalizing poverty. I want to thank you for being with me today, and I want to apologize for almost being late here on the air, but not quite. And I encourage you to stay tuned for the V-Man's adventures. I don't know what you got planned, V-Man. Anything exciting?
You know, lots of this and lots of that.
He's going to do this and that. So, hey, it's pretty mysterious. You better check out this guy and see what he's up to. You can always tune in to Bathrob Spears Broadsides next Thursday, 6 o'clock in the evening. And you can catch me between times at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. And I will also be at Carl's this afternoon giving out autographs for anyone who wants to show up. Also, for back issues of the Street Shit Sheet, we now have a complete collection from 1993 through 2001 for only $10. You can read all about it, all the dirt on City Council that you can stomach, and some of it that you definitely will not be able to stomach. Thank you for being with me, and come back soon and stay tuned.
The homeless, our problem, for only one reason. Their presence raises the question, who owns the land? The homeless, our problem, for only one reason. Our president raises the question, who owns the land? Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Could it be 90 million dead Indians? Who owns the land? Could it be 6 million Jews? Who owns the land? Is there a connection? Who owns the land? To our imperialism? Who owns the land? Will someone please tell me? Who owns the land? I am just a white man. Who owns the land? I live in the Americas. Who owns the land? How did I get here? This morning, I was awoken by a man with a handgun. He's got a book of rules that says I ain't got no right to sleep. This morning, I was awoken by a man with a handgun. He's got a book of rules that says I ain't got no right to be. Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Could it be that there's a connection? Who owns the land? To my daily eviction. Who owns the land? And the extermination. Who owns the land? Of the Native American. Who owns the land? Won't someone please tell me? Who owns the land? I am just a white man. Who owns the land? I live in the Americas. Who owns the land? How did I get here?
Genocide, where is home? Ecocide, genocide, where is home?